Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and we are going to tackle this week's golf, as well as looking back at what was a busy weekend of golf as well. How are you, Steve?
Morning, Dave. Welcome back to Sweet Spot. I hope you enjoyed your time off. Bit of greyhound racing, was it?
No, it was, and I can confirm I wasn't at Romford Dogs eating jelly deals with my family.
Were you not?
I
suspected that had something to do with dogs. But a lot of Sweet Spot legends won while you were away. So you're probably all excited that we tipped lots of winners, but we weren't on any of the Sweet Spot legends, I'm afraid. Got a little bit of place money from Live Riyadh. We got a little bit of place money from the Qatar Masters, but the Phoenix Open was a disaster. Michael Thorbjornsson was our tip on Sunday morning on Golfwise Extra at 16-1. So I thought Michael Thorbjornsson was going to save the day, but it wasn't to be.
Right, we'll get into all of that. Do get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot. We want to hear from you. Jump in the comments, like, comment and subscribe to us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Let's start then, shall we? Let's start with the Live Golf Riyadh. And this was won by Elvis is in the building. Elvis Smiley on Live debut does the business. 24 under par. John Rahm. 23 under par, Peter Urlaine 21 under par, and they had Abraham Anser, Thomas Peters, David Puig as well, but a debut success for Elvis Smiley.
Yeah, the first Live debutant to win since Henrik Stenson a long time ago. Elvis Smiley, I mean, he was Ripper's big signing in the close season. You know, there's always a few little trades, and Cameron Smith elected to dump Matt Jones. You know, Cam Smith said how brutal it was. He had to tell Matt Jones, you're sacked, so he could bring in Elvis Smiley. And Cameron Smith has been like a mentor for Elvis Smiley. From a very young age, Elvis has had Cameron as his mentor. Cameron Smith was always looking to find a way to get Elvis on the team, I think. And Matt Jones didn't do enough to stay on the team. They were both buzzing at the weekend. Cameron Smith says Elvis Smiley has the potential to be a future world number one. And I mean, I don't think it's an outlandish claim, because he's only 23, got bags of ability, probably needs Scottie Scheffler to go back to prison for it to become to become world number one anytime soon. But I understand what Smith was getting at. I mean, Smiley is an awesome player with bags of potential, so mature for his age. But I'm not kicking myself too much. Got some abuse in the comment section. How did we miss that one? I thought it was a tad harsh. I mean, obviously, we've been following Elvis Smiley from day one. We had him for the 2024 Australian PGA. He won that. He owes us nothing. But you can't back him all the time. And that, there were reasons for doubting he'd be able to do it last week. As you say, Live debut. His debut under floodlights. Don't forget, Live Riyadh
He'd
never played under floodlights before. He's making his course debut. Lots of players knew that course much better than him. So, incredible effort to win first time out.
Indeed, 24 on the par. Big showing from Big John Rahm as well.
Well, second again, Dave. He's just always the bridesmaid now, isn't he? Never the bride. I mean, he's back-to-back Live Riyadh runner-up. We can give him the bridesmaid label now. I've been chuckling to myself about the imagining him dressed up in a bridesmaid outfit. Yeah, this big burly bridesmaid shoving the others out the way when that bouquet of flowers comes. they throw the bouquet, don't they? You imagine John, I'm the bridesmaid. He'd be getting very frustrated. I mean,
Will he be getting paid?
But he likes winning golf tournaments. And last year, loads of near misses. He needs to end the victory drought soon. I mean, as a punter, I was pleased we avoided the short price, because plenty of people get lured in by John Rahm in Live Golf. He's the best player. The two shortest prizes last week were John Rahm in Live, Scottie Scheffler in Phoenix. The bookies will be pleased. Neither of them obliged.
I was going to ask you about the floodlights. What'd you make of it? I mean, I can't get into it. It doesn't look right to me. It should be on the only time you should be seeing floodlights is on the driving range.
It is different. It is different. I mean, the Liv have got some new members of their team now. Nicholas Kolsarts has joined as a commentator. Nicholas Kolsarts, former Ryder Cup vice captain for Europe. So he's blotted his copybook a bit. I don't think he'll be getting the vice captaincy anytime soon. Oliver Wilson, Ryder Cup player in 2008. Oliver Wilson is now a lead analyst for the Live. So they're all being lured by the big bucks. But the reason I brought them up is because Oliver Wilson was talking about how the floodlights affect it. Like, even from short range, you think a ball is lying down deep in the rough, because it's not easy to see the ball in the rough so much when it's actually sitting up. So sometimes it's very hard to make the correct contact from the rough in the dark, because you misjudge the lie. So floodlit golf is different, and they all had torches out. There was it's so funny to see. If they go offline, they all had these little torches to find their ball, because there's parts of the course where there's big lakes and that. It's not easy to get floodlit on the lake. John Rahm lost his ball at one stage. Peter Uhlein was massively unlucky at one stage, because he went to look at his ball in the rough, and there's all this sort of cabbage everywhere, and he accidentally trod on a bit that moved his ball. He got a one-shot penalty because he couldn't see it, and he trod close to it, and he saw it move, and it was, so floodlit golf is odd. But you need a good torch for floodlit golf.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Peter Uhlein. He looked the spitting image of Phil Hellmuth, the poker player. Do you follow poker?
I don't follow poker. No, thank goodness. It's one of the few vices I don't have. don't encourage me to play poker. But Peter Uhlein, I mean, we were very close to having Peter Uhlein in our staking plan. I was delighted he didn't win. He was a bit flaky at times. So, put that in your notebooks. Yeah, Peter Uhlein does struggle to get over the line in front. David Pooge was our main man, Dave. I don't know if you were following the tips last week. David Pooge, I mean, he tied fourth with two others. So place money for David Pooge backers. But we wanted better than that. He hit the front at the near the end of round three, he hit the front. Then his final hole of round three was a double bogey. Absolute hammer blow on Friday night. So that left him three shots behind, and he played really well on Sunday, like he always does. Saturday. It finished on Saturday. He played really well in the final round. He's a fantastic final round golfer. Bogey free 65, but the finish fourth. The wait for a live breakthrough goes on.
I know you live it and breathe it, Steve, but it's when there's three tournaments going on three different tours. There's not enough hours in the day for some of us. Always the live that has to bite the bullet, I'm afraid. And
oh, did it?
It's hard. It's hard to follow it all. And I just sometimes I just can't get into the live stuff.
Yeah, it is really hard. I feel a civic duty to watch all of the live, though, because we had a really successful live season last year. I think the punters come to us for live steers. Because I know I'm one of the few people who watches loads of it, and you're right, particularly when it starts on a Wednesday, finishes on a Saturday, like Saturday night in a family home, Gladiators is on, Michael McIntyre's popping up, who's that in the corner of the room? What little phone just perched there watching floodlit golf from Saudi Arabia. but I mean, it has to be done, because you learn stuff, and it's not like these live golfers are not going to play in other events. Come the majors, I know everything about these. Bryson DeChambeau, you probably want to know about Bryson DeChambeau. I know he's one of your favourites from the YouTube. Bryson DeChambeau tied 17th, so we did well to avoid Rahm and DeChambeau last week. DeChambeau finished 17th. We didn't play that badly. His putter was ice cold, like literally every putt over the first 3 days. Shaving the hole, like it was purely putting that cost him over those first 3 days, and it warmed up a bit on the final day. So Bryson DeChambeau, we're keeping an eye on him. I don't think he's a happy chappy on live, but kept abreast of all of it. David Pooge tormented me.
I feel robbed of DeChambeau. Sunday night's drama, I just think back to the Ryder Cup, and he was just electrifying, and then he's kind of just potting around on live. I don't know,
you'll get him back next year. I'm pretty confident of that.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll hold you to that. I will hold you to that. Right, anything else to add from Liv?
No, let's move on to a similar part of the world, Qatar.
Okay, right, the Qatar then. And back in the winner's enclosure was Patrick Reed. Again, the man who can do no wrong.
Yeah, DP World Tour form figures of 1-2-1. He's overtaken Jaden Schaefer at the top of the Race to Dubai rankings. He's almost certain to get a PGA Tour card for the Race to Dubai rankings. Another course debutant who won last week, Dave. I mean, we love Elvis Smiley. We love Patrick Reed. We were on him for his Masters win in 2018. We're on him for his only live win. He only won once.
Is that the Royal win? We love Patrick Reed. Not everyone loves Patrick Reed.
I treat you like my caddy, Dave. Yeah, I'm like Danny Willett always used to say,
bring me with you. Okay, yeah.
I'm okay. So we love Patrick Reed. We tipped him for the Masters in 2018. We were on him for his only live victory. You remember Live Dallas last summer?
Yeah.
So, we side with Elvis. We side with Patrick, as I like to call him. But we hate course debutants. This is the weakness I have. I really loathe backing course debutants, but Elvis Smiley fell in love with Liv, with the Riyadh Golf Club. Patrick Reed fell in love with Doha. I think I may need to amend my policy on on course debutants a bit. He hardly missed a green in regulation over the final 3 days. Reed's course management is unbelievably good. You know, he's got his brother-in-law as his caddy. They work so well together. I thought I was getting him beat. You know, Oliver Lindell. We were on Oliver Lindell last week, Dave. He was our next best in Qatar. And Oliver Lindell, he had an incredible final round. He had a two-shot lead through 11 holes. So, yeah, Reed looks beaten by then. Oliver Lindell's playing really well. But then in the space of about half an hour, it changed so quickly, Dave. Patrick Reed made birdie at 10 and 11. Oliver Lindell made bogey at 12 and 13. Missed a couple of tiddlers. Yeah, it's a really sudden four-shot swing. Again, I'm in the lounge, you know, young family around me, like, you know, wife and children just floating in and out. And, yeah, to deal with a four-shot swing in the space of 30 minutes in that scenario is a huge test of fortitude. I've been doing it for years. I can handle it. But at one stage, I did say to Grace, do you know any good jokes? can you tell your dad some good jokes?
And to her
credit, she come up with a couple of absolute crackers. I don't know the condition of your pecker today, Dave, but would you like a couple of jokes?
I would, yeah, always. Go on.
Yeah, yeah. So the first one was, how many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh?
Right, go on.
Tentacles.
I like it.
So Lindell missed his first tiddler, and I got that one. Then Lindell misses another tiddler at the next hole, and she goes, what did the duvet say when it fell off the bed? What did the duvet say when it fell off the bed, Dave? Oh, sheet.
Beautiful. That's lovely. So I hope that cheered you up. And the four-shot swing was a distant memory.
It did cheer me up. But Lindell backers went through the ringer. Look at his scorecard from the final round, Dave, and you'll laugh your little cotton socks off. He made 8 birdies. He made 4 bogeys. 2 of them were missed tiddlers, 1 double bogey at the 15th. So only 5 pars, and 3 of those pars were at par fives. So he's a really attacking player. It nearly came off. It was a really swashbuckling round of golf. But to be honest, to be frank, it was a proper bottle job. As soon as he hit the front, went 2 shots clear, he got really edgy. So, we'll have to think about Oliver Lindell going forward because he clearly...
Does that mean that he has to go in the bin? Because we can't have bottle jobs.
Yeah. I think there's too many people in your bin already. I mean, we'll discuss your bin when we get to the Phoenix Open.
Okay. Well, yeah, but Michael Thorpe Bjornsson is out of it for a little while.
Oh, he's come out now.
He's going well at big prices. Well, when he starts going off 16 to 1, but we'll get on to all of that. Right, Callum Hill, Jacob Skov Olesen. We had Veerman, Soderberg and Oliver Lindell, as you mentioned there. Second win in 3 starts for Patrick Reed. And I did try and work out what the hell was going on. He's obviously trying to get back on the PGA Tour. August, it has to be a year since your last appearance on the LIV Tour. Obviously, having won a major, he can get back on. But, I mean, they just make it up as they go along, Steve, don't they?
Well, yeah, he'll be back on next season. Yeah, he won't be on this season. He'll be back on next season.
Bryson but he can't play in August. I read somewhere that he could play in August.
We'll see. I mean, it won't be long after that until he gets his PJ. I think he can play like career money list. He might have an exemption from career money earnings on the PGA Tour. But he might as well go and try and win the race to Dubai now. He's in a great shape.
Well, that was the angle. That was what I was getting at. Is are we now going to see him competing in all these DP World Tour events because he's put himself in such a strong position? Why would he not?
Yeah, he's a massive runner for the race to Dubai. Rory McIlroy obviously normally wins that. So he's going to, that could be a really exciting end of the season because obviously Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed hate each other. It'd be fantastic to watch those two dueling for race to Dubai. So we could have a really exciting end to the DP World Tour season. I think Patrick Reed will stay until the end of it. Callum Hill deserves a pat on the back. We like giving pats on the back out here because, you know, to pick himself up from the disastrous finish to his, he was shanking away, wasn't he, when he lost that playoff. Took a 7, and he had another shank on Sunday early in his round. Like I saw an amazing quote from him after the tournament. He says, "When he's playing well, he seems to have lots of shanks." One of the weirdest comments I've ever seen.
I must be playing really well with him.
Yeah, you're in top form, Dave. But that's back-to-back runner-up finishes for Callum Hill. And then Jacob Skov-Olesen, as you say, he's going to win soon. He finished third. You know I like Jacob Skov-Olesen. Two of my favourites. Angel Ayora finished fifth. I was so pleased he didn't win. He was last name off the shortlist. I think he's going to win soon. And then Daniel Hillier, the final name to talk about. Daniel Hillier, I mean, he tied third going into the final round. He was joint first round leader with Patrick Reed. He was in contention for 3 days. He's tied third going into the final round, three shots behind. And then he just got out of the wrong side of bed on Sunday morning. I mean, he was three over par through five holes of the final round. Didn't make a birdie on the front nine. Finished 20th. So, yeah, a disgusting final round from Daniel Hillier.
Did you thought we'd run out of jokes by then?
Yeah. Fortunately, when Hillier was three over through five, I was in here actually in the workshed writing about the final round of the Phoenix. You know, coming up with some great tips. The Sunday morning tips have been really good, Dave. We've had a lot of success with Sunday morning tips on GolfWise Extra. So, tune in to GolfWise Extra on racingpost.com on Sunday mornings. And, you know, golf tournaments are a lot easier to predict with 18 holes to go than 72.
And obviously, you have to sign up to gain access to those pearls of wisdom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, Michael Thorbjornsson was the outright tip last week, each way at 16-1. And we'll come to how close that is. We had Scotty Scheffler finish in the top five. We obviously got lots of Scheffler in this guy. He was 11-4 for a top five finish going in the final round. So, so there's been some good tips on that. But we're waiting for our first pre-tournament winner. Hopefully, it'll come this week.
Okay, should we move on to the Phoenix Open then? Because you kind of
yes, sir.
Led us to that already. And Chris Gotterup birdied five of the last six holes and the playoff hole to do the business. It felt a little bit like Matsuyama managed to sort of snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, but he wasn't the only one, was he? Gotterup and Matsuyama 16 under par. Michael Thorbjornsson, we'll have plenty of chat of him, 15 under par. Scheffler, Siwoo Kim, Nicolai Højgaard and Ashkay Bhatia, who's a player that I've been following for a few weeks now. He's playing some great stuff. I think he's going to be winning soon. But what of the front two, the two that ended up in the playoff? Another win for Chris Gotterup, who's, I don't know what his current world ranking is, but he's surged from absolutely nowhere. Five.
Yeah, Chris Gotterup is world number five. Elvis Smiley was 80-1 last week. Patrick Reed was 14-1. Chris Gotterup was 35-1. That's the one that's hurting me more. I didn't mind missing Elvis Smiley. Didn't mind missing Patrick Reed. But yeah, the 35-1 Chris Gotterup sort of pains me a little bit because, yeah, this is another player we were backing long before he became a PGA Tour champion. Bruce and I, this fella's a sweet spot legend. Bruce and I used to have a lot of fun back in the day with his name. You know, if you like your horses, you often back a horse and you go, get her up. You know, get her up. You're talking to the jockey, get her up. So Chris, get her up. Has been on our radar for a long time, but we've not backed him for any of his wins. He's won four times now. So that affection for Chris Gotterup has got me nowhere.
Well, you would have been in the poorhouse following him because I'd say his four wins have all come in, the last 12 months?
Well, it would have all been, this would have been his shortest prize. He's been winning at big prices. I mean, he won the Scottish Open, Rolex Series event, going up against, was he up against Rory McIlroy down the stretch and that? Chris Gotterup has gone to a new level. And as I say, it's not about identifying youngsters that you think can develop into champions. You need to time your bets perfectly, don't you? You need to be on when they win. So this is the game. And I'm kicking myself to not be on Gotterup for any of his four wins. Last week you look at his Phoenix Open form. He played there twice previously, missed the cut on both occasions. But you've got to delve deeper because he was in rubbish form coming into both of those Phoenix Opens. Yeah, chalk and cheese this year. He's been in absolutely sublime form. His confidence is oozing out of him. And Scottsdale's just a great setup for him. Yeah, he's a very attacking player. He's got that amazing length off the tee. It suits attacking big hitters. As you say, the last six holes, five under par, and incredible. I think he's a really good player. Yeah, world number five. I mean, surely he can't go any higher than that. I mean, that's surely a ceiling. And some of the world rankings the world rankings are fascinating. Now, Justin Rose, world number three, Chris Gotterup, world number five. You'd have a big price on both of them, wouldn't you, last year?
When we were previewing the Ryder Cup and John Rahm was ranked like 80 in the world. So I don't think you can take them too seriously.
Well, fortunately, live events have got some world ranking points now. For the first time last week, the top 10 in the LIV event get world ranking points. They've had a little policy change. So John Rahm's world ranking went up 30 places for finishing second last week. So, you know, John Rahm should be coming up. But yeah, I think Chris Gotterup's probably reached his limit because his wedge play is still a weakness. He's got an incredible shot. He leans over his wedges, don't you? You look at his shaft, it's in a crazy position. I think... yeah, the length of his wedges could be an issue going forward, but otherwise he's a phenomenal player, you know, a fearless player. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, he's like a Happy Gilmore style player, isn't he? So yeah, I love Chris Gotterup.
Just send it, indeed. What of Matsuyama then, who is going to be absolutely distraught, surely?
Yeah, nearly became a three-time Phoenix Open champion. The reason we left him alone last week is that he doesn't drive the ball like he used to when he was winning those Phoenix Opens. Yeah, those wins were a long time ago. He used to be a reliable driver. He's a really poor driver now. He only found three fairways on Sunday, three fairways in the entire round. And obviously, the two shots that destroyed him, the two big hooks, hook at the 72nd hole, hook in the first playoff hole into water. I mean, it's not a long carry. It's a total miss it, that playoff drive.
Someone did text me, a mate of mine text me, and it's a term that I've not heard for ages, and he described it as army golf from Matsuyama.
Well, this is it. Yeah, certainly. It certainly had the left bit going on. I know the crowd were being a bit heinous at times. I think there was a few shouts from the crowd when Matsuyama was about to putt for victory. There was shouts from the crowd on backswings throughout the round. But I don't think, you know, even if he couldn't hear any of that, his driving was right out of kilter. So,
well, he stopped his backswing, didn't he? He stopped in his tracks because I think someone's chair broke. So there was all sorts going on.
Yeah. There was a lot. It's a funny event. Obviously, there's lots going on. Colin Montgomery would have not been able to handle that event. You know, he could hear like a rabbit twitching on his backswing. But fascinating event. Matsuyama threw it away. But then Michael Thorbjørnsen, you know, so he's out of your bin now.
I mean, let's get on to Thorbjørnsen.
It's bonkers. He finished tied third, 60-1, beaten by a shot. And he was 17 under par with three holes to play. And they're easy holes. You've got a flick of the wrist at 16. You've got a drivable par 4, 17. And then 18 is just a drive and a wedge. He shouldn't be finishing any worse than 17 under par from there. But adrenaline flooded his body at 16. He's taken a 9-iron there and he's just bashed it through like, you know, an incredible Hulk. He's got a really experienced caddy. I often bang on about his caddy. Yeah, Jakovac, who used to caddy for Colin Morikawa. So his caddy would have been aware of this. You know, should they have taken the wedge? Should they have factored in the adrenaline? He's missed long at 16, which is a disaster. Made bogey. He then realizes. He thinks he needs. It's a must birdie hole 17. I can understand why he thought like that. You know, Matsuyama's head. So he's taken the tiger line at 17. It's just narrowly gone into the water on the left. Another bogey, and then he missed the birdie putt at 18. So he's two over par for the final three holes. And he's lost by a shot. He just needed par, 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 and he's won. He's won in regulation play. So Thorbjørnsen back is in absolute turmoil, but he can't be in your bin. He's such a good driver, Dave. I'd be banging on about his driving ability. I mean, he took that course apart with his driver. He will win at some stage. He took the defeat much better than me. I mean, check out his post-round interview. Check out his post-round interview. He's cool as a cucumber. He says, he'll win at some stage soon. You know, he's just fine margins. I mean, there were course management errors that he made.
It's not just going to come with experience, though, right? You don't just turn up and all of a sudden become an experienced winner on the tour.
Yeah, I thought his caddy should have helped him on 16. I mean, the one place you can't miss on 16 is long. If you put the pitching wedge in his hand, he may come up way short if there's no adrenaline going through his system. It's probably perfect with the adrenaline factored in. I think 9-iron was a mistake because, as I say, you can't miss long. And then, so he's missed on 16 and 17, he's missed in the two places you can't miss. Long at 16, left at 17. Boom, boom. So just course management errors. But I understand why he was attacking at 17 because he felt that he needed to make birdie to get in it. But as it turned out, par, 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 par would have got the job done. So, yeah, heartbreak for Thorbjørnsen.
Yeah, I mean, I can confirm he's out of the bin, but he will go back in the bin if he turns up in a weaker event and he's like 14, 16 to 1 to win it, because they're not the sort of pricing you should be taking about him. What of Scottie Scheffler then, who came alive?
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler, massively out of sorts in round one. He spoke about how there's lots of ice where he lives in Dallas. So in between the Amex, yeah, it's not like it's astonishing for me that he thought he needed practice, but in between the American Express, which he won, and the Phoenix Open, he didn't get much practice in because the weather was bad at home. Maybe it is all about practice. You know, if you don't practice, you're just suddenly gone at the game, because then in round one, he said he was struggling with his grip. He couldn't get his grip right, and he shot a 73 and he's tailed off. He's 10 shots behind Chris Gotterup at that stage. And then classic Scheffler, knuckles down, restores the grip to the correct position, rounds of 65, 67, 64 to only lose by a shot. I think it's a really ominous warning for the rest of the players, really, because he had his Z game on Thursday. It was his Z game. I mean, he was duffing chips. There was nothing to do with the ice in Dallas. It's just astonishing loss of form. But then over the final 3 days, to fight back like that and almost win, it was incredible.
Well, he is competing this week. We'll get on to that. Is there anything else to add, Steve?
Not really. I mean, Kurt Kitayama finished well, shot 66 for 24th place. But yeah, the pre-tournament sits were poor. Cameron Young flattered to deceive. So I'm happy to see the Phoenix Open behind me. We've got the same conundrum this week that we're going to come to, the Scotty Scheffler conundrum. Do you play or do you not? Let's get cracking. Two fascinating events. I'm really looking forward to these ones.
Okay, well, let's start with the livers then. We are in Adelaide for the Adelaide individual. The market leader is John Rahm, David Puig next in, Bryson DeChambeau, Joaquin Niemann, Tyrrell Hatton, Carlos Ortiz, Tom McKibben, a star-studded affair. All the big guns are turning out. Elvis Smiley, incidentally, as big as 30 to go 2 from 2 in his live career. Where are we, Steve? Talk to us about the track.
Grange Golf Club, a composite of the East and West courses, South Australia, 7,111 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s. The inaugural Live Adelaide took place at this venue in 2023. The first two Live Adelaides were in April. Last year, the event moved to February. Joaquin Niemann won the first of his 5 Live titles last season. The course plays firm and fast, accuracy on approach, sharp short game. Around these tricky greens, the keys to success: sunny, warm weather incoming, gentle breezes throughout. 100,000 fans are expected to attend. Yeah, this is Liv's Phoenix Open. Really, boisterous galleries. A field of 57 is going to post. We have 13 teams of 4 these days in Liv and 5 wild cards. The Liv events are over 72 holes now, Dave. Don't forget, you might not be up to speed on that. Still no cut. The action starts at 1:15 a.m. UK time on Wednesday night or Thursday morning, however you view it. I know you're not like your nightclubs, Dave, so probably a Wednesday night for you. You'll probably be bumping and grinding at some Romford hip-hop venue on Wednesday night. So while you're at the hip-hop venue, Live Adelaide will be about to start on Wednesday night.
Okay, right. And on the course, what sort of attribute should we be looking for?
I think a sharp short game. Yeah, it's playing firm and fast. I think scrambling well is the key to success. We must mention it's live on TNT, Dave. I forgot to mention that because we've had the ITVX days are gone. It's TNT now, and the Live Golf Plus app, of course. You have to pay for your Live Golf Plus app now. So the coverage is stronger now. As I mentioned, your Nicholas Colsarts, your Oliver Wilsons. It was a really good event last week, to be fair. It was very entertaining. And this will be another good one. They've started with 2 really good ones because the floodlight element of Riyadh is quite bewitching. And obviously Live Adelaide is the best one. It'd be a good event if you're prepared to stay up all night.
Listen, I don't mind paying. John Rahm's not going to pay himself $400 million, is he? So, these things come at a cost.
That's it. It's definitely our Live subscriptions. Nothing to do with the oil in that part of the world.
Absolutely not. Just quickly, on the conditions, if you like, of this tournament, is temperament going to be some kind of factor here? I mean, if you're telling me it's going to be party central, which we thought it was going to be last year and it was, I'd be like, is John Rahm going to enjoy this golf tournament?
Absolutely. It's a very intense atmosphere. I mean, the party hole, you know, the beers do flow. I did notice that they actually delay sales of alcohol by 1 hour this year. I noticed on the schedule of events that they let them in. You can access all the other stuff. You can get some food, but they have a 1 hour delay before the alcohol serves. I think that's a reaction to the party hole getting a bit out of hand, but I don't think it
get some
stop them
food. Though. That's yeah. it. They're just looking at get some food in you. Now, I would say eating is cheating, but maybe they want that hour to just fill up, get yourself some water and some food.
Well, the thing is, they obviously think the hour's going to help. I don't think it'll help. Everyone just reaches their capacity anyway, don't they? They'll just delay them reaching their capacity. So, riotous scenes. I remember Patrick Reed, the aforementioned Patrick Reed, made a hole-in-one in this event last year or the year before. There's going to be scenes. So you're right to pinpoint accuracy. You play Live Adelaide in your head. It's Graham Taylor would say.
Okay. Yeah, imagine Ali Pali, the darts. We're not going to serve any beer for an hour. There'd be no one there for the first hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Right. I've given you the market. It's 4-1 the field. John Rahm is our favourite. How many in the team?
Four!
Okay. Four from 57 runners. Who have you got for us?
Lucas Herbert, mate. Come on, you rippers. Ripper GC is going to enjoy huge support. They look forward to this event above all others. You know, Live Adelaide is massive for the Rippers. And incredibly, they've warmed up last week by winning Live Riyadh. The team event went to the Rippers last week. So you got Elvis Smiley winning the event. The rest of the team play well. So, just a glorious start for the Rippers. It gives them a nice little settler before Live Adelaide. And I think the star this week will be Lucas Herbert. It was Elvis Smiley the star last week, but I think Lucas Herbert is ready to dazzle the home galleries. He won on the Asian Tour in May last year, a five-shot victory. Then he took 3 months off after the Live season ended. He got married. He returned in November. Lots of rust in his system, admittedly. But he closed with a 64 for fifth place in the Saudi International. Then he was 18th in the Australian Open. Then he had another 2 months away from competition, working on his swing, working on some equipment. And he was really pleased with his form coming into Live Riyadh. And he was absolutely stunned, Dave, when he opened up with a 75 last week. He couldn't believe it. He thought he was playing really well and he opened up with 75. But he stayed nice and cool, nice and calm. He was tied last place after round one last week. But he knew the form was in there because he'd been playing well in practice. Then he responded with rounds of 67, 65, 64. Nobody played better over the final 54 holes of Live Riyadh. He got some world ranking points because he tied ninth. So getting in that top 10 is a real target for the Livers now. It means a lot to get world ranking points. So he was delighted with how it went last week. Then he got the team booty as well. He's found his A game at Live Riyadh. Now he takes it to Live Adelaide. At Live Adelaide previously, he was one over par through 18 holes of his Live Adelaide debut in 2024. But he went 14 under par at the weekend to finish 13 under in 14th place. Mid-division effort last year. But this time, he's arriving in great nick. Turned 30 in December. He's won 3 times on the DP World Tour. He's won once on the PGA Tour. He's won once on the Australasian Tour in 2024. Now it's time for a first individual title on LIV. It's Valentine's Day on Saturday, Dave. Big reminder for you there. This will be Herbert's first Valentine's Day as a married man. What better present to present to the new Mrs. Herbert than a $4 million winner's check?
I'm not sure that's going to be his motivation, but I get what you're saying. Nonetheless, I was going to ask you, we got onto, mindset, temperament and the atmosphere and everything. If you're betting on this tournament, you've got to have some of the home team. On your side, because they're all going to be getting behind their compatriots, aren't they? The Aussies are going to be roaring them home.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very interested in the betting for the team event, which some firms bet on the team event. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen any shows yet, but when I spot them, I'll be honing in on the Rippers. Because as you say, the home support here is massive, bigger than any other event. And I remember Rippers and Stinger. Stinger have been renamed now, rebranded to the Southern Guards. But back when they were the Stingers, that's the All South African team. So you had the All Australian team dueling with the All South African team, Live Adelaide. And they were just heinous towards the, the stingers. You know, I think Dean Burmester was close to tears, some of the abuse coming their way. You know, cans of Foster's being launched in their direction. I made that bit up. I didn't make up the heinosity. It was really aggressive gallery. So I think Rippers have got a huge advantage this week. And they got the guys that respond to me. I mean, Elvis Smiley is as cool as a cucumber. For a 23-year-old, he's like a machine. I remember his sister was going on about, they're talking about his sister, that the family philosophy that second place is first loser. Like his sister was teasing him. His sister was watching him on the way around, and I think, and saying like, you know, come on, Elvis, second is first loser. You know, these, you know, really serious winners, this family. I think there's a bit of tennis. I think the parents were great tennis players. Elvis's parents were great tennis players. But the point is, you got some strong characters in that Ripper side. Lucas Herbert's a strong character. Cameron Smith's a strong character. Mark Leishman has finally got off the mark in Australia. He won his first event in Australia at the end of last year. So all four of them should be able to handle the atmosphere. They all talk about how much they love the course. They all talk about how inspired they are by the environment. So, yeah, I think Ripper's great bet for the team event. Look out for the prices. But Lucas Herbert, great bet for the individual.
Okay, right. Here's the first of four. Who's the next best?
Abraham Answer, who relishes his trips down under. He won the Australian Open by a 5-shot margin in 2018. He was a star for the internationals in the 2019 President's Cup at Royal Melbourne. You might remember that one. Answer won 3.5 points from 5 matches against the mighty Americans. Basically, he was unbeatable until he played Tiger Woods in the singles. Like, Tiger Woods was in inspirational form in the Sunday singles. Nobody could have beaten Tiger Woods in the Sunday singles. But Answer, massively proven in Australia. In Live Adelaide, his form figures are progressive, 29-2. He was runner-up to Wacom Neiman last year in the first February Live Adelaide. This year, he's joined forces with Neiman. He's had a transfer. Abraham Answer is now a Torque player, Wacom Neiman's Torque. And Answer, saw him interviewed last week, absolutely delighted with the move. He's got a fellow Mexican in the side, Carlos Ortiz. He's always been friends with Wacom Neiman. He's always been friends with Sebastian Munoz. So Answer, much happier as a Torque player now. And you saw that last week at Live Riyadh, not a course that suits him. And he finished fourth, Dave, after an amazing weekend. Weekend rounds of 65, 66. Fourth place at Live Riyadh is a real pointer that he's going to go well at Live Adelaide. Much more suitable track this week. I think a second Live individual title entirely feasible this week. You know, Answer's proved his minerals. You might remember the 2021 WGC St. Jude Championship. So he's won a WGC in America, 2021. You know, don't worry about Answer with this environment.
Okay. Does anyone give a monkeys about the team stuff in the Live, Steve?
Well, the players
are very excited about it, talking about, you know, moving from team to team. We're not going to see Jim White pop up with his yellow tie, are we?
there was a few big transfers. I mean, the most amusing close season drama was the fact that we didn't have a four aces team sorted for the first event. I mean, it was, you know, Patrick Reed left last gasp. You remember the last time we were chatting on Sweet Spot, we were saying, oh, Patrick Reed, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Yeah. We assumed he's going to stay. Unbelievably, he went. So then four aces, day before the tournament starts, haven't got a full team. You know, Dustin Johnson's team on the website just got three players. So I had no idea it was going to be a four ace. And they suddenly dragged Miguel Tabuina. Miguel Tabuina came in as a wild card and had the four aces gear on. I mean, I have no idea whether he's going to stay as a four ace. I very much doubt it. They're trying to sign someone to replace Patrick Reed. Miguel Tabuina is not going to cut the mustard there. So, the transfer dramas are quite
amusing. The team with all the English lads. They've rebranded, yes. Have they? Rebranded.
Majestics. Yeah, Laurie Cantor. Laurie Cantor's come in as a Majestic, replacing Henrik Stenson. So they are all English now. They're rebranded. Now they got rid of the Swede. Henrik Stenson's gone. They can really push the England stuff. Lee Westwood was injured last week. So Ben Schmidt suddenly comes in like a DP World Tour. A DP World Honestly. Tour man. Ben Schmidt is probably mates with Lee Westwood. They're both from the north of England. So Lee Westwood said, I've got a bit of an injury. Fancy a bit of Live, Ben. So Ben Schmidt's playing on Live. I don't know how long Westwood's going to be injured for. I think Ben Schmidt's playing again this week. So, yeah, the team stuff is absolutely hilarious, really. It's just so random. Yeah, the wild card.
But if you're telling me there's an angle in to have a bet, I'm interested.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely think there's an angle this week because we know he's playing for the Rippers. They're all playing well and the home advantage is huge in this event. So, yeah, I think there is an angle in. But, you know, we need to see the prices first. The bookies will be aware of the chance as well. But, yeah, Wackham Neiman has welcomed Abraham Answer into the side. Abraham Answer, massive transfer from Fireballs to Torquay. And he's very, very happy with his move.
Do they disclose the transfer fee? Does that happen?
They do not. They do not. I mean, Abraham Answer had to play with Sergio Garcia last week, and so he had his old captain alongside him. But Abraham said that, yeah, they're still great mates. They're all great mates. All great mates on Liv.
Of course they are. With a big check swagger. Right, that's two down, two to come. Who else are you tipping, Steve?
The big prices of the week. Adrian Meronk. Another former Australian Open champion. Meronk won the 2022 Australian Open by 5 shots. That was one of 4 victories he's enjoyed on the DP World Tour. Meronk's girlfriend at the time of that Aussie Open win, Melania, has cousins who live in Melbourne. So he's got family in Australia. He stayed with those cousins the week of that Australian Open win. The lovely Melania became Adrian's wife just before Christmas. They got married just before Christmas. So we've got Melania Meronk on the scene now. So last year was a big one for Adrian Meronk. He started with his maiden Liv victory in Liv Riyadh, and then it ended with the creation of Melania Meronk. He carded 4. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to laugh. I find that so funny. I don't know why. It's just because I'm a juvenile. Melania Meronk. He carded 4 under par rounds in Riyadh last week. 27th place in Liv Riyadh. His Liv Adelaide form figures 26-12. But fast finishes have been a feature of both of them, Dave. So he was 6 under par for the final round in 2024, 7 under par for the final round in 2025. So I think he's got a real handle on the track. He's a massive price, as Adrian Meronk. He's definitely a good value each way bet.
Okay, and we've got his accommodation arrangement confirmed,
have we? Well, yeah, I mean, they live in Melbourne, but yeah, he's very comfortable in Australia. He's got a lot of family in Australia, so he's got a good support network. He'll have a lot of supporters. Australia's like a home from home for the pole.
A factor, because obviously time zones and way of life and everything that's going on, plus, you know, the madness around this tournament, any sort of home comfort is an advantage.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're backing 2 players there, and Abraham Answer and Adrian Meronk, who've won the Australian Open, another massive event with massive galleries, by a mile. Both won by 5 shots in the Australian Open. So, form in Australia, very important because they're very similar conditions. The Australian tracks have got a uniqueness about them. I'm very delighted with 3 figures about Adrian Meronk.
Yeah, he is a big price. Are you telling me that the 4th selection is even bigger?
He is. Absolutely. He's actually the outsider of the party, Dave.
Give it to me then.
He's opened up at 1,000 to 1, which I think is astonishingly generous. It's Danny Lee. Danny Lee, 1,000 to 1. I'd be delighted if that survives to the publication of Sweet Spot. I think 1,000 to 1 is just a wrong price. You know, nobody in the field has got a less chance of winning this than Danny Lee, according to the bookmakers. I think he's a danger man. We're talking about a mercurial talent here, an absolute prodigy. He won the 2008 US Amateur just after turning 18 years of age. Former world number one amateur, Dave. Of course, he won the 2009 Johnny Walker Classic on the European Tour when he was still an amateur. That's in Australia, of course. That's in Perth. This is a Korean-born New Zealander. So he plays for the rebranded Korean Golf Club team. Kevin Na's left the team. Bai-Hong Hunan's come in to captain the team. Danny Lee is mates with Bai-Hong Hunan. He's got a captain who trusts him. So I think Danny Lee was worried about losing his spot on Liv. Now he's got a captain he gets on with. I think he's there to stay. I think we can see an upturn in his fortunes this year. He's a New Zealander. He grew up in New Zealand. He's used to playing courses in Australia. He's had that DP World Tour win in Australia. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2011. He won on the PGA Tour in 2015. He won on Liv in just his second Liv start in 2023. So he's got loads of bottle, this lad. You know, he's a bit like Lucas Herbert, a prolific winner on whatever tour you put Lucas Herbert on, he wins. Same with Danny Lee. Yeah, I've got no issues with his bottle. He knows how to handle the courses in Australia. His Liv Adelaide form is 25-9-37. Only one player outscored him in round 1 of the 2024 Liv Adelaide. He carded 4 under par rounds in LIV Riyadh last week, tied 41st, but 8 under par for the tournament, no disgrace. Still only 35, was a LIV winner less than 3 years ago. I mean, for 1,000 to 1, you shouldn't be able to get any positives, should you, Dave, on 1,000? It shouldn't be any positives. And I've just listed plenty of positives about a player in a 57-man field. He finished 9th in this tournament 2 years ago. You know, get as many each-way places as you can. Some firms bet to 12 places on... you can get 12 places on LIV. You know, he's well capable of repeating that top 10 finish. I know you like backing top 20 finishes, Dave.
We got all that?
Yeah, you're not going to be stunned if Danny Lee finishes in the top 20. I personally am not. I would have several other players below him in the bet, and he is actually the outsider of the 57.
1,000 to 1. There you go. All the naysayers that say that Steve likes a short one. The outsider of the field. What a shame there isn't a cut as well, Steve, because we could have loaded up him to make the cut as well.
Yeah. I think top 20 is as good as you're going to get, but it'd be a big price for that.
Right, I'm looking. 6 places is the most I can see at the moment. Maybe that will change, but there you go. 1,000 to 1.
Yeah. Dip into the individual websites. Dip into the... There's extra markets available if you dip into the...
Shop around. Okay, quick line on the first few in the market. John Rahm, 4 to 1.
Yeah, bridesmaid, never wins. He certainly never won in Australia. You mentioned the intense atmosphere. I don't think he likes it. His LIV Adelaide form is 3-6, but easily ruffled, easily upset. You know, do you want to take short prices about a player that could lose his head and, you know, someone could say something that really upset him? So, yeah, not for me.
Okay, David Puig, who's double his price, 8 to 1.
David Puig, yeah. Do you remember you used to mock LIV events because you say the same market every week?
I was going to say, the market, look how different the market looks. Yeah.
The times they are changing. You know, a sweet spot legend is now second in the betting. David Puig has rocketed up the betting. I mean, the bookie's given him a lot of respect this week. Obviously, he won the Australian PGA in November, so a recent win in Australia. He's in great form. But it must be said, the last two events he's played, he's blown two golden winning chances. I mean, the Dubai Desert Classic, he got almost alongside Patrick Reed going down the stretch and made it very easy for Patrick Reed on that back nine. And then in LIV Riyadh last week, you know, he hit the front, then made double bogey with his final hole on Friday. So, you know, last week we were getting double figure prices on a really suitable course. This week you've got to take single figures on a less suitable course. So it's no deal for me on David Puig.
Okay, there has been plenty of money around for YouTube's Bryson DeChambeau, who is a player that you think might thrive in this kind of party atmosphere.
Yeah, cold putter last week, as I say. LIV Adelaide form figures of 28, 26, 18. So he's not enjoyed this tournament previously. Seems unsettled on the LIV circuit. No, he wouldn't be for me, Dave. Tyrrell Hatton's not for me either. Tyrrell Hatton, I mean, he still hasn't recovered from Christmas, which seems a crazy thing to say, but really let his hair down over Christmas, Dave. He installed a Guinness tap in his house. So he was just pouring himself a Guinness all over Christmas. He put on a stone in weight. He said he came back for the Dubai Desert Classic, he said he couldn't turn. He was like, it was like turning the Titanic, he said. He said he had a shorter backswing than John Rahm. So he actually did get massively out of condition. He's working on getting his weight down. So, yeah, I don't see the Porky Pom upsetting the LIV galleries this week. The Porky Pom. I mean, his LIV Adelaide
full of iron. If he's installed a Guinness tap, I bet he's full of iron.
Yeah. Guinness is good for you. Guinness is good for you. I always tell my wife that. Guinness is good for you. Lots of iron, but his LIV Adelaide form figures are 14-23. So yeah, Hatton's not for me. And the defending champion Wackham Neiman, he's been playing poorly. He's been missing loads of cuts lately, Wackham Neiman. So I don't see a successful title defense. You know, Neiman missed the cut in the Aussie PGA and the Australian Open just before Christmas. So yeah, the market's changing.
Okay, we shall see. We'll see. Listen, it might be the same 4 or 5 at the top of the market next week as well. But look, lots of negatives there from Steve at the top of the market. Who knows? Dare I say it? It might be the week to back a few outsiders, maybe the rag of the field. 1,000 to 1. Right, should we move on, Steve?
We better had, Dave. We better had. I see we've been rabbiting on.
We have indeed. Right, we are off to the iconic Pebble Beach then for a Pro-Am, the home of next year's US Open, which I've told you previously I'm going to try and get to, Steve. Listen, I remember previewing this tournament last year, and we thought, you know, McIlroy is a runner, but the course doesn't really suit him. And it, you know, was the start of a wonderful year for Rory. He's in the field again. He won it last year. Wyndham Clark, 24. Justin Rose, 2023. Hoagie's in there. Daniel Berger, Nick Taylor. But what a golf course to play golf on it. This would be one on the bucket list, this one.
Oh, absolutely. And don't forget, we've got two courses this week, Dave. So Pebble Beach Golf Links is the host course. Three rounds there. One round before the cut at Spyglass Hill. Spyglass Hill is more inland, but more difficult. Pebble Beach, 6,989 yards. Spyglass Hill, 7,071 yards. So both short, both par 72s. This is a signature event, the first signature event of the year. A field of 80 going to post. No cut. The pro-am element of this event ends on Friday night. So professionals only at the weekend.
Good.
Yeah, you're right. You can't have amateurs muddying the waters of a signature event weekend. Pebble Beach hosted the US Open in 2010 and 2019, hosted the US Amateur in 1999 and 2018. Small greens, Poana greens, cloudy, cool and calm for the majority of the event. Pebble Beach, a second shot course, accurate approach play, sharp scrambling, the key to success. Place your bets around 4:30 p.m. on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, I've turned my nose up there because you say calm. I want it to be windy and carnage.
Yeah, quite cold. There might be some hoodies on, I suspect.
Okay, and you mentioned small greens, you know, known as the Pebble Beach defence, right? The small targets.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's going to be missing greens and you've got to scramble well and make your pars.
Okay, so we're saying that length off the tee is not something we should be looking for here. It's second shot.
I'd say anything off the tee. Yeah, there's the driving doesn't really count for much here. Everyone plays from the same position. You can club down off the tee. The fairways are pretty wide. Everyone's pretty much playing from the same position off the tee. It's all about what you do from there.
Okay, right. The market, the chef heads the market 3-1. Rory McIlroy, 14s in a place, the defending champion. Then next in, you wouldn't have guessed next in, but Siwoo Kim is next in the market. Then we've got Victor Hovland, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley. The stars are out at Pebble Beach. How many are you putting up, Steve?
Four right!
Okay, so 4 and 4, 16 each way doubles, if you fancy. Who is the main selection then for Pebble Beach?
Maverick McNealy. The new father is ready to win again. He became a dad 3 months ago. The dust has settled. Baby Adeline is doing well. Maverick got the rust out of his system nicely this year. He admitted to huge amounts of rust, obviously down tools at the end of the year. Returned to action with 24th place in the Sony Open, 10th in the Farmers Insurance, 13th in Phoenix last week. Sunday did not go to plan in Phoenix. Congested leaderboard, little margin for error. You had to attack if you wanted to win that event. But he did finish the round in style. 2 under par for his final 5 holes. Made birdie at the famous 16th hole. Sent the fans wild. Nearly holed an incredible chip at the 18th hole. So he left Phoenix in good spirits despite not winning. All departments of his game are in really decent order. Driving accuracy was his only weakness really last week. It's something you can get away with at Pebble Beach. I mentioned the fairways are generous here and you can club down off the tee. So I'm more interested in how well McNealy was hitting his approaches last week. Brilliant on approach. I expect him to contend for a second PGA Tour title on Sunday. Always been a class act, former world number one amateur, born in California, lived close to Pebble Beach as a teenager, got loads of experience on this course early on in his life, starred at Stanford University, quickly became a contender in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He finished 5th in this in 2020 when he was ranked 349 in the world. He was runner-up in this in 2021 when he was ranked 189 in the world. He's got a fantastic record in California generally. Finished 2nd in the Fortinet Championship, 2nd in the Genesis Invitational. Loves short coastal tracks. His maiden PGA Tour title came in the RSM Classic on by the coast on a short track. He's had 2 top 4 finishes in the RBC Heritage, similar assignment. So, yeah, lovely each-way investment from Maverick McNealy. We love Maverick McNealy. You love Maverick McNealy, don't you?
I do, and I love that as well. He's as big as 35 out there. So, big price, of course, with the chef taking a huge chunk out of the market. There are some big prices on offer. That's the first of 4 from Steve. Who's the next best?
I got my daughter off school ill today. She just texted, "Hi, Dad, are you okay? I heard shouting from the shed." I'll go and see her in a minute. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just telling Dave how many selections we've got in this tournament. So the next best, Patrick Cantlay, one of three Californians in my staking plan this week. Cantlay's record in his home state is magnificent. Another former world number one amateur, a college star at UCLA. He won the 2020 Zozo Championship in California. That Zozo was in California because he couldn't go to Japan. Runner-up in the 2021 American Express, third in the 2023 Genesis Invitational. His Riviera record is amazing. Consistently impressive at Pebble Beach. Ninth on his debut in the 2013 Pro-Am. 21st in the US Open there in 2019. His last five Pro-Am starts, 11-3-4, 11-33. So massively proven at Pebble Beach. He ended last season with second place in the Tour Championship. He started this season with 13th place in the Amex. Missed the cut by a shot in the Farmers, but hit the ball really well. It was just an ice cold putter. So I'm not too worried about that. I think a long overdue 8th PGA Tour title may come on Sunday for the 2021 FedEx Cup champion. He hasn't won since August 2022, Dave. But I think this event sets up really well for him. And he's a really juicy price.
So, yeah, do you know what? That was going to be my question. You've just answered it. Seven times a winner on the tour. When was his last win and what the hell was happened to him?
Yeah, August 2022. So it is a drought, but I still haven't given up on him. I still haven't given up. And when
why is he in form? Do we put it down to anything?
He's still very consistent. He just hasn't been winning. And the prices are on offer this week, 35 to 1. There's plenty of return from the place. So both of my main selections in this, Maverick McNealy and Patrick Cantlay, the prices are generous. 80 runner field, we can get some place returns here. Yeah, we're turning our nose up at the market leaders. The Scottish Schefflers, your Rory McIlroys, the Catch in the Eye, the punting community. But yeah, we're going for bigger prices with some each way element to our investments.
Well, if Patrick Cantlay places, it pays more than backing Scottie Scheffler to win. So
absolutely. We didn't back Scottie Scheffler.
For it.
Yeah,
I'm
we
all
didn't
for
back
it.
Scheffler last week for the same reason. Yeah,
if
sorry,
you're telling me that Patrick Cantlay is back on track, then we're back on the train. Because and listen, I don't think he got to world number one, did he? But he was threatening to.
No, I don't think he's ever been world number one, but he's not been far off. Yeah, he's FedEx Cup champion. Yeah, that's a feather in his cap.
Yeah, indeed. Right, two more to come then. Who else we got?
Russell Henley, whose PGA Tour debut came in the 2010 US Open at Pebble Beach. He was still an amateur at the time and he finished 16th. He was low amateur in the 2010 US Open. An amazing performance. He finished 5th last year in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He's a 5-time PGA Tour champion. He won a signature event last year at Bay Hill. His maiden PGA Tour title came by the coast in the Sony Open. His only weakness these days is driving distance, a lack of driving distance. Not a significant handicap at Pebble Beach. I think his approach play precision, his magnificence with wedge in hand is much more important this week. He's posted 4 top 10s in majors over the last 2 seasons. He's much more comfortable in elite company than he's ever been before. He started 2026 in solid fashion, 19th in the Sony, 8th in the American Express. So I find it very difficult to imagine Henley not being on the leaderboard. Again, will he win it? I don't know, but he's a big enough price for us to sort of feel like the place money's got a magnificent chance and we'll take our chances from there.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot. And he's been well backed as well already this week, Russell Henley. Right, one more to come. Who else have you got for us, Steve?
So our biggest price runner in this one is Akshay Bhatia.
Yes, I'm on the train. 100%.
Another cocksure Californian youngster. We got a couple of cocksure Californian youngsters this week. He finished 10th in the stroke play section of the 2018 US Amateur. So the 2018 US Amateur, Pebble Beach and Spyglass Hill were the venues for that. He lost at the 19th hole in the knockout stages. He finished 30th on his Pebble Beach Pro-Am debut in 2021. When he was ranked 987th in the world. He made his second start in the event last year and finished 22nd. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in the Bahamas in 2022, loves coastal golf. Then his maiden PGA Tour title came in California, the 2023 Barracuda Championship. He was 4th at the end of 2024 in the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. So his record in California is amazing. His record by the coast is amazing. What about the current form, Dane? What about the current form? Started the year slowly, but third place in Phoenix last week was a massive upturn in form. Hugely encouraging performance. His A game returned in Phoenix last week. 68, 67, 67, 67. Guess who's back? Batia's back. He looks an enormous prize to win a third PGA Tour title this week, having just turned 24 at the end of last month. And I think the key to that upturn in form that we saw in Phoenix last week, his confidence level's gone up because he's been hanging around with the GOAT, Dave. He's been hanging with the GOAT. He has been Tiger Woods' replacement in TGL. Jupiter Lynx needed a player because Tiger Woods is injured. Tiger invited Akshay Bhatia to replace him. He calls him Ashtray, isn't he? He deliberately calls him Ashtray. So Akshay Bhatia has got a nickname from the GOAT. Tiger rocks up and says, "All right, Ashtray, let's go, Ashtray." If you had a nickname, if the GOAT rang you up and you had a nickname, Davy Boy, what was your nickname? The Romford Swinger. If you had a nickname from the GOAT, so I've outed you there. Yeah, if you had a nickname from the GOAT, you'd feel good about yourself, wouldn't you?
You would, 100%. And listen, I told you a couple of weeks ago, two players that I'm almost backing blind every week: Sahith Theegala and Akshay Bhatia, who played ever so well last week. So I am 100% on board with that one. Beautiful stuff.
Nice one. Yeah, Sahith Theegala played a TGL match last night, which is poor preparation for this. So don't have Sahith Theegala. We'll come to another big player who played in the TGL last night when we go through the market principles now.
Okay, there was a hole in one in the TGL, was there not?
I know LA took a beating.
There was a hole in one. I saw something. I'm not following it too closely, but there was a hole in one. There was definitely a hole in one.
LA lost 11-5 last night. I know that much, and I know who played in it, which is the key point to make.
Well, did Scotty Scheffler play in it?
No, Scotty Scheffler did not play on it. He'll never play on it. He's the ultimate professional.
Exactly. He's the favourite. You're not with him.
I don't think this is a time to be chunking the chef. Steady driving is one of the key components to Scheffler's game. It doesn't count for much this week. As I say, everyone's playing from the same place off the tee at Pebble Beach. Long, accurate driving is not greatly rewarded. Obviously, his approach play counts for plenty, but it must be noted he never used to play in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He's only turned up when it became a signature event. So missed the cut in the 2019 US Open at Pebble, and then sixth and ninth in the two Pebble Beach Pro-Ams the last 2 years. But this is not a course where he can assert his superiority as easily as he can at other venues.
Okay, I hear that. Did Rory McIlroy play?
No, he didn't play this week, but he has been playing TGO this year, but didn't play last night. He's the defending champion.
He's 12-1.
Very soft conditions last year. He hit some amazing shots last year. Some of the driving. The 14th hole is one of the hardest par fives on the PGA Tour. He turned the 14th hole into a pitch and putt last year. His driving on the 14th hole was amazing. Can he repeat the dose in less soft conditions this week? I don't think he's playing as well as he was coming into this last year. He finished 33rd in the Dubai Desert Classic last time out. You remember me getting all emotional about the fact he's using cavity back irons, but he's got new irons in the bag and he wasn't very good with them last week. The cavity back irons, I guess, are here this week. He's got an amateur partner this week for the first two rounds. I expect they can compare clubs. They probably got the same clubs, probably both using cavity back. McIlroy is not for me, and Tommy Fleetwood's not for me. Tommy Fleetwood, first start of the year in the States, flopped in the Dubai Invitational, flopped in the Dubai Desert Classic, playing poorly in this baggy clothing. I don't know whether he's going to improve his clothing. Swinging in a tent this year, humdrum Pebble Beach form figures, 45, 65, 31, 22, and played in the TGL last night. I mean, his advisors are not helping him. They need to tell him not to be wearing these ridiculous clothes. And they need to be telling him not play a TGL match in Florida when you're playing in a signature event on the other side of America later in the week. It's just rubbish preparation. So Fleetwood played in that. Sahith Theegala played in that. Tony Finau played in that. Minwoo Lee played in that. So they go from Florida to California. It's just not an ideal start to the week for me.
Okay, there is one player I wanted to ask you about who's a long way down the list, and you put me off him a couple of weeks ago, and that's Ludwig. He's like 40-1. I know he's not been been well, but he's 40-1.
Yeah, I mean, he nearly finished last, didn't he, that week? That you had your faith in him because you thought he was over the illness. He didn't look like he was over the illness. I assume he's over the illness now. We don't know for sure. Ludwig's main strength is his driving. And, this is not a course that really accentuates that strength. So, yeah, Ludwig wouldn't be for me, even though I think he would have won last year's Pebble Beach Pro-Am if they played four rounds. Remember that the final round was washed out, so Wyndham Clark was given the victory. Ludwig was playing so well, I think another 18-year-old Ludwig would have won. But yeah, Ludwig's not for me. I think Justin Rose is the one it's very hard to get away from. He's the last name off the shortlist. Justin Rose won the 2023 Pebble Beach Pro-Am, 11th and 3rd in the two signature events the last 2 years, 3rd in the 2019 US Open. 3 of his last 4 PGA Tour wins have come in California. So hard to get away from Justin Rose. It's just this, devil on my shoulder saying, can a 45-year-old win back-to-back titles on the PGA Tour? He's had a week off, but he did go back to London. You know, he lives in, he's got bases in Surrey and London. He's gone back to England in between events. Can he jet back and then get straight back on it again? I don't know. I don't know. Possible.
It is. Listen, we've done an hour. We'll have to check if our producer Ben is still awake. One more player I wanted to ask you about is Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, brilliant last round. Yeah, he'd been playing rubbish this year, then suddenly found it, came from off the pace with a 65 in Phoenix on Sunday. So encouraging Sunday, but rubbish up to then. I'd like to see a little bit more evidence first.
Okay, a week for big prices, which is music to my ears. Let's have a roundup then of selections. Liv Adelaide, who are you going with, Steve?
Lucas Herbert, Abraham Answer, Adrian Maronk and Danny Lee.
And a reminder of the 4 for Pebble Beach.
Maverick McNealy, Patrick Cantlay, Russell Henley and Ashtray Bhatia.
All aboard the Ashtray train, that is for sure. Any darts this week?
No, not interested in the Premier League darts. It's just too volatile. Anything can happen. No, just golf and Valentine's Day, Dave. Yeah, very, very difficult when you've got young kids to bring romance into the equation. But I need
What are the Palmer plans for Valentine's?
I need to do something on Saturday night to bring romance into play. And then obviously we've got Liv Adelaide all night. We can snuggle up and watch Lucas Herbert. spend all night watching Lucas Herbert and Liv Adelaide. I know how to treat a lady, Dave. Do you want TLC or do you want TNT? that's the big question on Saturday.
On that note, I wish you the very best of luck with that project, Steve, on Saturday night. It's been a pleasure as ever. Do get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot. We want to hear from you. Are you also aboard the Ashtray train this week with myself and Steve? Get in the comments, get stuck in, and we will catch you next time.